Hey, welcome to the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show. My name is Kevan Davani, the Total Connector. You know, when trying to combine or fuse, hardware wallets and technical features, functions, privacy, security, with a user-friendly user interface, user experience, it's really not easy. So really looking forward to my talk with Ben Kaufman again. He's been one of the main developers of the Spectre desktop, which is sort of a interface, I'll call it interface, a desktop interface, where you can connect your hardware wallets, first of all connect it to your full node. In my case, it would be when I open up my MyNode dashboard, it's already just recently integrated, so really kudos to them. So the Spectre is already integrated into the MyNode as an icon, as a button in MyNode. So yeah, without further ado, this is my talk with Ben Kaufman. He's also going to do a demonstration. So for those of you who are listening on podcast, if you want to see the demonstration or see the function, especially the ones who are noobs or not so technically experienced, and want to have sort of a guidance, a tutorial, let's say a general tutorial with Ben Kaufman, check out my YouTube and subscribe, please, on my YouTube channel, which is in the show notes. And it's Kevan Davani, Total Connector, Total Bitcoin. Thanks so much for the support. Let me know if you have any questions afterwards. My email address is hello@thetotalconnect.com. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Telegram. And thank you so much. Welcome to the show, Ben Kaufman. Thanks so much for your time. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me again.
Ben, congratulations again to your great work. I know it's still, in progress, everything, and there's still a lot of things to do, but in essence, it's ready. It's also been integrated, the Spectre desktop, or the Spectre, as I would call it, into MyNode, which makes me really happy because I'm a MyNode user. So Ben, why don't you tell a little bit of background story about how you came to be working on Spectre? I guess you're one of the main developers, as I've understood correctly. And what was the reason, the purpose behind this whole Spectre desktop? What were you trying to achieve here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So I think Spectre desktop as project was started, I think, around mid 2019, based Pan from Crypto Advance, along with Moritz. But I think Stepan did all the coding, all the initial code. I joined around I think a few months ago, around March, I think. So I just saw the project on Twitter. I met Moritz in a few conferences before, I haven't met Stepan before that, just Moritz. But I saw the project. I was looking around that time for some multi-sig hardware wallet. I heard a little bit about Caravan, but didn't really give it a try. I just saw Spectre and decided to give that a shot. I really just really really like that, just so that it's really easy to use, really useful for me, and just started doing some small things, some very minor features or bug fixes that I thought that I need personally, so stuff that I found useful for myself. And from there, I just got into that and just stuck into it. So started doing bigger and bigger stuff, bigger changes, bigger features.
For the for those listeners, as you know, my purpose is to break this knowledge down for noobs or average users. What is it that the Spectre does? Which is it comparable to Electrum? Is it comparable from usability or functionality features? What can you do with Spectre? Can you just do like an overview?
Yeah, sure. So Spectre is basically a wallet management software. So it allows you to, it's kind of a GUI for an interface for Bitcoin Core. So it allows you to use hardware wallets, soon also a hot wallet we're adding, with multi-sigs, single sigs with your Bitcoin Core node. So instead of depending on whatever software Trezor supplies or Ledger supplies, which is not very privacy preserving and quite limited in terms of integration with other wallets like multisigs. So you can use Spectre in order to do that. It works with hardware wallet integration for most, which is a tool by Andrew Cho to use most hardware wallets. So we use that to communicate with them. Which allows us to utilize most of their features. So yeah, it's just a wallet management software in its like in the bigger picture.
I already saw a short tweet or a post by Stepan Snigarev. I mean, I'm going to claim that he's one of the really best security experts or technologists out there. And he did set up a multisig, as I or at least a COBOL with a COBOL a Spectre with a COBOL vault. Now, you can do essentially you can connect Spectre to every well-known hardware wallet out there, including COBOL Vault.
So yes, right now we support basically all the popular wallets, including COBOL from the last version now. And adding wallets is pretty easy for us. It's not so complicated. So not much work if there is a new popular wallet with a lot of demand and people want to use it. So adding that to is not really a problem. But yeah, we already support Trezor, Coldcard, Ledger, Keepkey, now COBOL, and Spectre do-it-yourself, which is a do-it-yourself hardware wallet.
How about Bitbox? Bitbox too?
No, I don't think we have support for that, but I think it can be very easy because I think they are supported by hardware wallet integration tool. So I can ch actually check that. I just didn't look into it yet.
Okay, as we go along, and as you're gonna go into details and explain stuff, I'm gonna ask you a bunch of really naive and stupid questions. I need to ask those questions, otherwise, it's just gonna be reserved for the for the more experienced or advanced Bitcoiners or even technically experienced people. So yeah, why don't you go ahead and because I open up my Mynode, it really looks slick, it really looks sexy. I opened it up, it. The only thing I managed, is to connect the COBOL vault. It's air gapped with a QR code. That's all I did. I didn't, go into any deeper details or, or try to. So why don't you just go into, into the real stuff and just explain? Maybe do a little demonstration.
Yeah,
The
sure.
stage is yours with screen sharing.
Yeah, sure. Let me turn on the screen sharing. Okay, you see my screen, right?
Yeah, beautiful.
So that's I just open up Spectre completely empty on a reg test, which is just a simulated chain running on my computer where we can play with it. So let's start. I connected a Keepkey and a Spectre do-it-yourself tool to my computer. So let's start by just adding a device. That's the first thing you should do with the with Spectre. So let's start with Keepkey. I'll just name it. I'm choosing the type Keepkey. Get over USB. So what it is doing right now with just connecting to the KeepKey, communicating with it over USB. Enter passphrase is optional if you enable passphrases in your device for extra security. So we support using that as well. I just submitted empty for now. Let me just enter the PIN. So this is just a test device. So I don't have undermine. This is not an OPSEC issue for me. So we just keep keys a bit slow with the PIN, but in a moment it should open.
Ben, can I ask you right now before we move any forward, can you explain a little bit what is Bitcoin Core? I mean, when I open it up through my node, is it already automatically connected to my full node, my node? Is that by default connected, right?
Yes. So with Bitcoin Core, it uses it basically as kind of a backend, just for communicating with the blockchain, for creating transactions, PSBTs more correctly. But it connects to it automatically if you're using it through Mynode or through Raspberry Blitz, which are both supporting Spectre. And if you're using, for example, Bitcoin Core, which runs locally on the computer, if it's with the default configuration, with the default path at least of the folder, the Bitcoin folder, so it will detect that automatically too. If not, I'll show in a moment where you can configure it. It's very simple. But yeah, let's just finish with the KeepKey.
Sure.
So what it done here, it just automatically imported all the XPubs that it will need, all the public keys basically that Spectre will need to create new addresses and use and create new multisigs or regular wallets with that device. So all that Spectre does, it saves the public keys. It doesn't touch the private keys of the device or anything. So all signing happens in the device, and the worst thing that can happen when you're using Spectre is if someone touches your computer, it can see your public keys, but never the private, so friends are safe. So let's click continue to add the device. And as you can see public device of KeepKey. This is just the list with I guess most non-technical users don't really need to worry about this list. So it just says here the type of the key, its derivation, which is the BIP32 derivation path of the key. Again, for noobs, I don't think they need to worry about it, but this just means how the key was created, basically from a single secret. So with combining that secret and that specific path, you could create that key. But yeah, this is just like Spectre now can use for creating wallets. So let's see how we can connect Spectre to Bitcoin Core without the default configuration. So just a moment. So there's the settings right here in the Bitcoin Core. So there's the settings if you click on Bitcoin Core. There's the Bitcoin Core settings, and you can set your username and password, which is the JSON RPC username and password. So when you set up Bitcoin Core, you usually set username and password for your node, for communicating with your node for authentication. Again, Spectre can detect that automatically usually, but if it doesn't detect it for some reason, you can set it over here. For me, it's empty because Spectre detected that automatically. The host is just the node lives. So if it's on your local machine, you can just it will just be localhost. And the port is it's just a port where Bitcoin Core is running. So there are default ports. We are right now using regtest, which default port is 18443. So this is where it's set right now. And if you want to just test the connection to make sure that everything works and that Bitcoin Core is connected properly, just to make sure about that, you can click on test. And it will run here some tests for connecting to the node and checking everything is fine. So you can see that it could connect to it, the credentials were okay, version of Bitcoin Core is recent enough, and that the wallet settings of Bitcoin is enabled. This is just some test data which we will need in order to debug stuff if something goes wrong.
Okay, Ben, the page looks very familiar to me. I think it looks exactly pretty much identical. So you mean when I open it up through my node dashboard, does it because there's no username password in it, so it must have recognized it automatically by default, right? Because I'm
Yeah,
on the
it
local
should
network, right?
recognize it by default at least. Yes.
Okay, but what if I want to enter, like I want to access it from outside, like I usually access it via Tor or something. Would that be a different setting, or is it really
Yeah,
like
so
simple?
for the Bitcoin Core, so if you want to, do you mean access Bitcoin Core through Tor or Spectre through Tor?
Spectre.
Yes, so the Bitcoin Core configuration can remain the same. I don't see any benefits of having it connect through Tor to the Bitcoin Core if it sits on the same machine at least. But yeah, if we want to connect to Spectre through Tor, it's quite simple. We have one of the files in the repository. I can show that later. You just run it with run through a simple process of generating a secret. But and just run Spectre with that secret. But it should be fairly easy. We have it all documented, and I need to check if there needs to be some special documentation for my node for that, but I think it should work the same.
All right. Okay. I just want to, tell also my listeners, because this is actually a podcast, but since you're demonstrating something, I will upload this also on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, the Total Bitcoin Total Connector show. So anybody who wants to, see the details, I mean, you're explaining it really beautifully, also the things that maybe, the average Bitcoiner would take for granted. Would be great also, to always explain things or the terminology so people know where they're standing, and so they don't get lost. Thanks so much, Ben.
Yeah, sure. So I think let's go ahead and create a wallet. We can start, since we have only one device, we can only create a single SIG. So that's what we're going to create right now.
What's the
So
difference
let's see.
between nested SegWit and SegWit? Because it says your type
Oh,
of the
yeah,
wallet.
sure. Sure, yeah. So the SegWit is the addresses starting with BC1. So these are just the new address format since we have SegWit. There was a new address format which is BEC32 encoded. This is just it means that the addresses look different. Basically, this is one thing. The other thing is that the nested SegWit looks like the old addresses, so it's compatible with old wallets. It starts with the free like the script like the pay-to script hash. But it also uses SegWit. It just for compatibility with wallets which don't really support it SegWit. But both are basically SegWit. One is just hidden behind the old format, just for compatibility. So if you're not planning to use like some old wallet for something, you should use SegWit. I don't see a lot of reasons to select nested SegWit unless you very specifically need it. So that's what we're going to take. So let's name it, for example, PP single wallet, which is the PP device. Continue. Here you just again, if you have multiple pub keys which match the derivation needed for the new wallet type, you will be able to select between them. But again, most users will not have to do that. Most users have only one key for the derivation, which is what we get by default because that's what we need. So it automatically just chooses the first key. Again, here we have also the option to scan for existing funds. So just if you're importing an existing wallet, let's say you use your Trezor on the regular like Trezor software, so on the regular Trezor website, and want to migrate to Spectre, you just tick that checkbox here, and Spectre will automatically scan for old funds and import the addresses that you used so far. But it might take some time, so if it might take a few hours if it's a very big wallet or something. But we create a new wallet, so we don't need that. Let's just create it. Okay, so now we have a new wallet here. It prompts us to the address page, to the receive page, where we see our first address. Any questions so far?
No, but how did you get inside that wallet now? I mean, to the display.
When I create the wallet,
okay.
When I click create wallet, it takes me here.
All right.
But you can always navigate to it through the sidebar.
Yeah, just for my listeners to know.
Yeah, sure. So when you create a wallet, it will take you to it, but you can always navigate through wallets and devices through the sidebar. Mm-hmm. Here we have a QR code and the address itself. We can generate a new address if we want. Whenever we have received funds, the addresses are generated automatically to avoid address reuse, which damages privacy, so not good. So we avoid that automatically. Also, two things you can do here is display the address on device just to, you know, to verify that the device actually controls the keys to the address. Mm-hmm. So one thing which is this is very important to protect the users from some if their computers are compromised. So if the computer is compromised, you might have a software which messes with what you see on the screen. So this is why we use hard wallets in the first place, to avoid the pitfalls from using a computer which is connected to the internet and might have malware on it and might be compromised. So when you display the address on the device, you can see it on your device screen. When you see that on the device screen, you can be assured that the address is indeed yours, that mm-hmm. it's not planted mm-hmm. by some hacker.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually do that with every hardware wallet you have, like would it be Trezor,
yes.
Copa Vault?
Yes,
or,
you can do this with every major wallet. So I didn't test Copa myself, so I'm not sure, but mm-hmm. I think so. With Spectre, I know you can do that. With Trezor, Ledger, KeepKey, and a cold card too. And you can do this also, like we just added the ability to do this for multisigs as well, for all wallets except Ledger, which doesn't support a multisig display address, which is a security vulnerability reported to them quite long ago, but for some reason they ignored it. So for everything else, we do support displaying on the device and encourage users to use that when they receive funds. I think we can continue to actually get some funds. Since it's a backtest, I can just generate to myself here. Let's also just edit the label here, for example, to know what the money is. So let's say, this is just take advantage of the labeling of Bitcoin Core. So mm-hmm. there's automatic labeling of Bitcoin Core. Go to it. Just a second. I'll generate to the address. I don't think you can see that, right? You don't see my terminal here, or you do?
Yo, what?
Do you see my terminal here or not?
What is the terminal? What is it?
Okay, you see Spectre yet, so it doesn't share that, but it shares the Spectre screen. Okay, so now I generated some coins, some money in here, mm-hmm. so you can see the balance updated. There is a new mining reward, you see. Mm-hmm. In the addresses page, you can see all your past addresses. You can group them by labels. If you want to create some accounts or so, you can see only the active UTXO, so all your UTXO list, which is just the same here for us for now. Here you can see that the new address was generated, and now let's send some funds. But before that, let's create another wallet, a multisig, and send that to it, shall we? Let's create with Spectre now, which is the other device I have here. Spectre. Get over USB. So it just connects to the Spectre device that I have here. And continue. Yep. Okay, so we have now Spectre here as another device. And let's create a multisig. Creating a multisig is almost the same. Let's call it Kitty Spectre multisig. And here, we can say how many devices output how many. So one out of two, let's do it. You can just choose whatever you want here. Let's select the devices we want to use. So both, and create a wallet. Okay, cool. So let's just copy the address here and say we want to move to a multisig because it's more secure. So single sig migration. Just don't know what it is. So now here in the sending page, you can see that we have a few things. So the recipient address will be just the address here. Address label, so we know who we send it to. So the multisig, new multisig. The amount, you can set it to sats or Bitcoin. Let's say we want to move one Bitcoin there. The fees, let's set it to manual, because if it's Bitcoin Core, it will automatically calculate the fees based on Bitcoin Core. If it's a testnet or no mainnet, but on regtest, it can't really calculate automatically the fees. So we will set that manually to one Satoshi per byte. And create unsigned transaction just creates for us the transaction to send. So here you can see that we have our transaction to the new multisig. If we want, this is a bit more technical, but here you can see all the transaction details. So from transaction ID and fees, the input details. So basically everything that you may want to know about your transaction, we just display it here. But the simple view is just how much you send and to whom. And let's sign it. So here we have the list of the devices that we can sign with, which is only KeepKey with a single sig. We can choose a signing method. So for Spectre, for example, which supports both QR codes and hardware wallet integration, it will offer us both, but KeepKey supports only the hardware wallet integration. So we just chose that. Let's sign with it. Just a second. I need to enter my PIN again.
So you can do pretty much everything that you know that you can do on Electrum, but maybe even with a better UX, or maybe even with a better smooth interface. Let's talk about that later on, you know, because that's it's an important aspect.
I'm just clicking to sign on the transaction on the device itself. Okay, so it got it right now, so the transaction is ready to broadcast. We can either send it, if it's not a reg test, which is again a local on my computer. So if it's not a reg test, we could also send it through blockstream.info, which should just, which is a feature we added just to, you know, for privacy. So if you send it from your computer, it might, if you're tracked, companies, or whoever tracks you might be able to know that you sent that transaction, that your IP sent that transaction. But if we send it first to Blockstream and then Blockstream propagates it, so it's harder for them, it should be harder for them to know. So we can either send it or save it as a pending transaction if we don't want to send it yet, but let's send it. So here you can see it is an unconfirmed transaction, it is still pending, but we can also see right here that transaction that one DTC was added here to our multisig.
Okay.
Yeah, and questions so far?
No. Let me, before that is important, I think, to ask. Now everything is open source. You guys, is that everything open source you work with?
Yes,
or?
Yeah. This okay. is everything 100% open source.
I'm just imagining, you know, what other people would, or other experts would ask. I mean, is that something that has been audited, or, you know,
I'm not aware that the code has been audited by anyone other than the developers themselves, just us. But I don't, first of all, there is no virtual, because we only use, just the cold storage. So we don't touch the keys at all at any time. So you can't, a theft of funds cannot happen with that. If you validate everything on your hardware wallet screen itself. The only thing that, the worst thing that can happen is privacy issues. So if someone takes away your XPubs, but for that you will need to get into your computer somehow.
I see.
So there's not much security risk that I can see here, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
What's been the feedback so far? By the way, I mean, should we? I think we should give out a shout out. I think to CryptoKids, who wrote some kind of on GitHub, some kind of do it yourself Spectre version.
So CryptoKids wrote the, for Spectre Desktop, he wrote the frequently asked questions page. Mm-hmm. And they also shared, I think, a thread on Twitter on how to create on how it created a Spectre do-it-yourself, which is the hardware wallet, the do-it-yourself hardware wallet that we have here. Mm-hmm. Also shout out, I guess, also Stepan I mentioned, then Moritz, and also Kim, which is also one of the developers, even before me. Mm-hmm. And kids also, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the feedback from Stepan Snigarev so far? I mean, what did he test, and how did he test? And also, my second question is, where do you see the challenges for not the noob, but like, let's say someone who's already, you know, a little bit experienced, but like myself a little bit, but where do you see the challenges or potential for improvements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think right now there is a ton of stuff that we could do that we think of doing that we're working on. Mm-hmm. So just one thing I mentioned was the hot wallet, which I'm currently working on. Also, something which I think is more very, very important, which I think Stepan is working on right now, is packaging the app to make it easier to set up and then install. So right now, if you don't use it through MyNode or Raspberry Blitz, which simplifies stuff, you need to run it with Python. So it shouldn't be that bad, but for many people, it's sometimes a pain. I hope we can improve on that a lot in the near future. Besides that, other stuff that we're working on right now, we're also finished implementing a multi-user feature for Spectre, and soon we will probably deploy it on a public server so people can play with it before they install it for themselves, kind of just test it and play around with it, or share it with friends and family, so who don't run their own full node, but maybe are interested in Bitcoin or something. The The pitfalls I get, I guess, is I think besides the installation and everything, setting that up, maybe the UI could be improved to be easier for beginners or so. But yeah, I'm not sure. There are many things that we think about implementing into Spectre.
Did you work with a UX designer? I mean, who do you work with when it comes to
No,
designing or?
yeah, so Stepan has done the designing so far. I think he, like personally, I think he done a great job.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm definitely not a designer, and I couldn't design anything near that. So yeah, I'm just terrible at it. I stick to coding. But yeah, Stepan has done all the design, all the icons, all the color schemes, basically everything related to the design as far as I know. But yeah, I think we could I think this is very good what we have now, but I think we could use feedback from beginners to see what is the pains for them. Maybe someone with less technical background, and see if he thinks that it's good enough for him, if there's things that he would like to be simplified, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely myself a good measuring stick for that because, I'm not advanced, I'm not, super like experienced, but I'm, but I do have experience, with whatever setting up hardware wallets or working with Electrum or setting up a multisig. So that would be so great, if you have like a like an user interface like that, in Spectre, and you have like everything, a smooth overview, you got your single wallets, you got your multisigs, and yeah, that would be great. So what was I gonna ask you? Yeah, so that's a desktop. There's is there like a mobile version on the roadmap, or are you going?
Yeah, so right now regarding mobile, so we are trying to make this also mobile friendly. So this is pretty much a huge pain to do that. So we currently have some minimal support for mobile. So if I, for example, just minimize that, you could see that the sidebar is getting smaller and everything, but it doesn't yet look great. So I think on iPad you could use it, but not really a mobile phone. I hope we will get to that in the future, but this is going to be quite hard to see how to design it for that.
Yeah.
I think we might need some help from a more experienced designer for the mobile, but I think so far it's at least for iPad, which I tried it on, it feels quite nice.
Yeah. I mean, there's a really excellent. I'm going to have a talk on this Sunday with Celine of Blockstream and Mayank, really excellent UX designers, and we're really going to go down the rabbit hole of, what are the challenges? What do the users really need? How can we serve the users better, or actually the UX designers? How can they collaborate, cooperate, communicate better with the product developers and the programmers? And so if I wanted if they're, if you guys develop this mobile version, would that be possible then to connect it via Tor?
Yeah, it's always possible to connect to it via Tor. So as I said, we have the Tor setup, which is n it, I don't think it's complicated personally. I've done it like when I just started looking at Spectre. It was I'm a technical guy, so it's hard for me to be objective on that. But I set it up in a few minutes, so it was really easy just following that guide. But yeah, so you can just run it on Tor right now and access it through whatever other device that you want. Yeah, so I think with the mobile, if we get to a mobile, we might need to also think on how to do that easier to connect to it. But I think it's quite good right now.
Okay. So yeah, there was a couple of other questions I wanted to ask you, but I think that's good for now. Is there anything like you want to add I don't want to keep make this too long of an episode because it's pretty heavy technical and especially for the listeners. But is there anything you want to add or explain to especially the new users, noobs, who really want to really start playing with a hardware wallet or setting multisig in connection with Spectre Desktop? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. So I just think that maybe highlighting the advantage of using Spectre, for example, compared to the, you know, to the Ledger Live or Trezor website or anything, I think the first thing to mention is the privacy preserving aspect, mm-hmm. where in Spectre you hold your keys for yourself, you watch your addresses for yourself. While on Trezor and Ledger Live, for example, they, you know, you send to them the public keys, which then they could in theory use to track your funds, which is a privacy concern. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that with Spectre, it's easier to actually use your own node, so you can't really connect your own node with Ledger or Trezor without some special software. So with their default software, you have to trust their nodes. You have to trust them to validate your coins, which puts you in some security risk in case they try to cheat on you or something. Mm-hmm. And they also think this is like the very ethos of Bitcoin, of verifying your own transactions. I think this is very important for Bitcoin, and the main reason for me to actually use, you know, to use my own node, verify my own transactions. So this is these are the two highlights, I think, of why use Spectre, why use your own node. Yeah, that's it.
What kind of hardware wallet, when it comes to security, do you have a preference for hardware wallet? And is this something you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I think I'm not sure. So I have most of them right now, and I don't have a strong preference. I think like I like Cold Card a lot. I think also Trezor is pretty nice. The Model T. But I don't have a strong preference, and I think that in terms of security, I think it's good to have a multisig with multiple types of devices as well. So if one of them, for some reason, there's a critical vulnerability, you could, your funds are still safe. This is another consideration why I use the multisig.
So a multisig on Electrum is always a good choice, are you saying,
for example? I think multisigs are usually a good choice. First, it might also make sense to use a single sig in a lot of cases. I don't say that it is the best choice for everybody to use multisigs, but they have security advantages.
Right. Do you want to talk about Caravan? Have you tested it, Unchained Capital?
Yeah, personally, I played with it very little, so I can't say much. But I think Caravan is aiming to do more just coordination between multiple entities. So they are stateless, as far as I know. So they don't manage your devices and your wallets like with Spectre. They just meant for coordination, as far as I know. They use a different technology stack, which had an advantage. For example, in the last, if you remember the last security issue with hardware wallets, where the with the SegWit transaction format issue. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they use the for example, they use Trezor Connect, I think, to connect your Trezor devices, which meant that the fix that Trezor made was available right away. I'm not sure how good it or bad it is for privacy. I'm not sure if the Trezor Connect also sends your pub keys or not, so I have no idea on that. Mm-hmm. but I think it's good to have like multiple options and multiple stacks. But I think their aim is quite different. So yeah, with Spectre you can also do coordination, and in Descent here you can have multiple users in Spectre. You can sign on one computer, for example, save the transaction to the unsigned screen and then sign it from another computer. You could import that transaction from another user, but yeah, the interface is stateful, so it saves the wallets and the devices that you're using. They have very similar uses, but essentially it's different, I guess.
Just for the sake of definition, what is a PSBT, like a partially signed Bitcoin transaction? Yeah, because that's what Spectre supports too, right?
Yeah, sure. So Spectre works with what is called PSBT, a partially signed Bitcoin transaction. So a PSBT is just a fancy name for a Bitcoin transaction which was created but wasn't signed yet. So you are creating a Bitcoin. When you create, you can create a Bitcoin transaction. We use your own full node to create a Bitcoin transaction, but the signing happens somewhere else. So you just have the transaction created on your computer, but then you sign it on the secure hardware that wallet that you're using. This just means that you can use separate signing from creating the transaction. I think it's more of a fancy name for something not so complicated.
Mm-hmm. Something it's a simple question, but it's really important. So someone who just uses really just a simple hardware wallet like a Trezor, and just opens up, you know, the web browser and, you know, does his transaction, whatever. And the difference to using, let's say, Trezor as a single wallet on Spectre, what is the difference in privacy again? I mean, can you enhance the privacy features when you're interacting, when you're, you know, connecting it working with Spectre as just a single wallet? Is there any difference?
Yes, yeah. So the advantages are pretty much the same. You don't need to, the pub keys are not sent to Trezor. Mm-hmm. They are kept on your computer. They don't leave your computer. And again, you verify your own transactions. You can make sure, you know, that if in case we have another saga like the SegWit wars, where some companies said that they are going to accept the SegWit 2x Bitcoin as the real Bitcoin, so something like that will not affect you in any way. So you will, even if just for the sake of, you know, of this example, if Trezor would have gone with Bitcoin Cash with the SegWit 2x, whatever, then you would still use Bitcoin as usual.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So the company behind Spectre is it's Crypto Advance. You want to, I don't know, mention a little bit, or direct people to your Twitter handle or Twitter handle of Crypto Advance and other resources?
Yeah, sure. So at least right now, personally, I'm not working for them in any way. I'm just cooperating with them on this product, which is open source. So this is just how I came to. But yeah, I think it's a great company of Stepan and Moritz. As far as I know, I can't pronounce their last names too well. So just Stepan and Moritz, and you can see them on Twitter, I guess. But yeah, it's a very promising company. I think it's really a really interesting work that they're doing. That's my Twitter handle on the screen.
Mm-hmm. And so that's Crypto Advance.
Yeah, so if there are any questions, any need for help, then you can. There's a Telegram group for Spectre for support, where you can send questions. My DMs are also open, so if you want to ask me, you can do that too. You can open an issue on GitHub if that fits. Yeah. So yeah.
I mean, what I hear, Ben, is a lot of people seem to be really, for good reasons, really excited that Spectre is finally, thanks to your, great work also, especially to your work, really brought out. It's really it's more or less, it's also your baby. So, and also Moritz and other people. So shout out to all of them. And any final thoughts, or then we can wrap it up. Thank you so much again, Ben,
Yeah, I
for your time.
think. Yeah, sure. So it just, yeah, I think I also got tied to the project a lot since I started contributing there, but I think it's still mostly Stepan's work. I think he deserves most of the credit there. Done a great job, doing a great job. Also, Kim again. So yeah, but I think the entire team is really great. And again, if you have any questions, there is the support group and my DMs.
All right. Great. Thank you so much, Ben. And yeah, hope to talk to you soon again on a panel discussion together with Stephanie von Jahn. We should repeat those sessions again as panel discussion on Austrian economics. I mean, I think a lot of people still don't know you, or actually, my listeners know that you've written, beautiful and presented also in Vienna. Wonderful articles and made beautiful presentations on Austrian economics, the boom and bust cycles. Is anything on the horizon you're going to publish or you're working on in regards
Yeah,
to
not
Austrian
yet.
economics?
Just yeah, not yet. Just the time constraints, so not much time to also code and my job and everything together. So trying to find a balance between all. So not yet, but I hope in the near future to have some time for that too.
Okay. Well, Ben, thank you so much and take care. All right.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you for having
Bye-bye.
me.
Okay, that was a hell of a a fascinating tutorial actually. So again, for my podcast listeners, if you want to really dive into the more detailed instructions, tutorial, or demonstration, you should also check out the video on YouTube. I'm going to upload this on podcast and YouTube. I was thinking, going back and forth with I should only do this as a on my as a video on my YouTube channel. Again, thank you so much for your support, and please follow Ben Kaufman on Twitter, and follow me on Twitter also. My ha Twitter handle is Kevan Davani. Make sure you follow me, you subscribe on my YouTube channel, my podcast platforms, leave me a positive review, share it, like it, retweet it, reshare it, whatever you do. Thank you so much again, and if you have any questions, let me know. My email address is hello at thetotalconnector.com, and my website is kevandavani.com or thetotalconnector.com. Thanks so much. Bye.